This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and it's a pleasure to welcome Professor Anatole Levin. He is in the Gulf in Doha with Georgetown University. He is quickly to return to America after all these decades. When we first met, he was in Washington. He's coming back to Washington to the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. His new book, later this summer, we will speak much of it, is updated, Climate Change and the Nation State. However, our conversation now concentrates on when Anatole and I first met. It was Afghanistan. It was 2002. I was a new broadcaster to live or recorded radio around the world, depending on the time zones. And Anatole traveled from Washington into Afghanistan, where he'd been many times before, before the Taliban, after the Taliban, and now before the Taliban. Anatole, a very good day to you in the Gulf. The news from Kabul right now is more of the same. Australia closes its embassy in Kabul. In addition, The Guardian in London reports Afghan security guards plead for help after Australia suddenly closes Kabul embassy. The expectation, and I've spoken to many voices about this, former National Security Advisor Mr. Bolton, former National Security Advisor Mr. McMaster, and other distinguished observers, that the exit from Kabul will leave the city itself and the nation of Afghanistan exceedingly vulnerable, maybe more profoundly so than when you were there with the Taliban and the resistance back in the late 20th century. Right now, what are you watching for in Kabul? What do you expect to see in these next days that would be either a positive for the people in Afghanistan or a negative? Good day to you.
Good day. It's so nice to talk to you again. I mean, I'll be looking out for more Western embassies following the example of the Australians and just, you know, quitting, getting out, and a collapse of Western aid to the Afghan state. And the other thing I'll be looking out for is, though of course this will be happening under the surface, but any indications of people in the Kabul state, warlords, generals, officials, politicians, reaching out to do personal deals with the Taliban. Because something that hasn't, I think, been widely recognized enough is that both when the communist state fell in 92 and then when the Taliban took over in the Pashtun areas, not those of the other nationalities, in the 1990s, there actually wasn't much fighting because, you know, there'd been under the surface a whole series of deals done in advance whereby military units just surrendered and went home. Now, after that, there was really serious fighting between the Taliban and other ethnicities in Afghanistan. But I think, you know, the state might last for a considerable time, you know, with American financial support, but it could also collapse when it collapses very quickly, and even to a degree peacefully.
The observation from the American point of view is that we've done enough. Afghanistan is now, it has the resources to stand on its own. And yet, Anatole, you've been in and out of Afghanistan through many iterations of regime leadership. There is nothing that suggests to the conversations I've had
that the leadership now is any different, worse, or better than leadership in the past. It would appear that the Taliban is integrated into the structure, the power structure of all of Afghanistan, and that it was a false lead to believe that we, that it was possible to separate the idea of the Taliban, which is devotion to a point of view, Islamic Republic point of view, to separate that from the people of Afghanistan itself. I'm not looking to rationalize this. I'm just reflecting after 20 years how the regime change didn't change the nature of the war.
Well, I think that's right. We have to recognize that, the Taliban, because of their religious and social conservatism, because of their nationalism of a sort, does have very deep roots in the rural society of Pashtun Afghanistan, not necessarily of the other ethnicities, because Afghanistan, of course, is divided and the Pashtuns are less than half. They have proved their resilience and endurance. And on the other hand, the state that we've tried to create, not for the first time, has simply become totally dependent on us financially, runs on distributing Western aid as largesse, as patronage, and just, has not been able to strike sufficient roots in its society. So at least, once again, one always has to look at the specifically ethnic roots of the Taliban. But they're not exclusively Pashtun, but, very largely. But certainly as far as the east and south of the country are concerned, I just don't see any way of avoiding the fact that the Taliban are going to be the dominant force in the future.
Pakistan is said over these decades to be the author of the Taliban. Certainly there is Taliban in Pakistan as well as Afghanistan in that border region. You've been there. I've only reported from it for people who were there. Is a fluid. Is this exit of the coalition forces, will this change the nature of Pakistan, the state of Pakistan? Will it destabilize Islamabad?
No, I don't think so, because the Pakistani Taliban have actually split from the Afghan Taliban, precisely because the Pakistani Taliban were fighting against the Pakistani state, which the Afghan Taliban didn't want to do, given how much help it was getting from Pakistan. And when the Pakistani Taliban were defeated by the Pakistan army, many of them fled across the border into Afghanistan. Now, they, because of their international and anti-Pakistani agenda, have actually joined ISIS. There's a fairly substantial ISIS presence in Afghanistan now. And one hopeful sign for the future is that ISIS and the Taliban are bitter enemies. The Taliban has fought very hard against ISIS because, of course, ISIS are also rivals for power, for control in Afghanistan. And it's really ISIS now which forms the international terrorist threat from Afghanistan. Of course, not just a terrorist threat to us, but to Pakistan, to India, to China, to Russia, to Iran. And so I think that there is considerable room for a degree of cooperation with the Taliban against international terrorism in Afghanistan, though, of course, that will be very, very hard to arrange. But I think that there, since the U.S. is withdrawing militarily, it's absolutely essential to work with the regional powers, because, after all, they're also threatened. Well, they're permanently threatened. They're much more threatened than us in the long run by what happens in Afghanistan. And they are, to a degree, with some exceptions for India, all on the same page now. So I think regional diplomacy is going to be absolutely critical there. But of course, I very much hope that President Biden will talk in a productive fashion with Putin next month about this, because this is actually one area where the USA and Russia do have common interests and could cooperate.
Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not ISIS, and it's quite separate from the Taliban, but Al-Qaeda has never been shy about presenting itself as a unifying force. Al-Qaeda was the reason you and I first spoke, because the pursuit was into Afghanistan. Do you expect Al-Qaeda to return to its base in Afghanistan, however it works, in these next months, or will it keep a low profile as it has these last years?
That very much depends on the Taliban, and that's why, you know, the whole business of our negotiations with the Taliban is going to be so important,
right,
because they will be the critical force to control Al-Qaeda. I think, you know, what one can say is that, once again, everybody in the region, including Pakistan, is going to be really, really against Al-Qaeda coming back to Afghanistan. And, you know, well, you see what I mean. When China talks, Pakistan has to listen. And when Pakistan talks, the Taliban have to listen. You know, I've also talked to low-level Taliban people over the years.
We have about a minute, Anatol. About 1 minute. Go ahead.
The Taliban do realize, I think, that hosting bin Laden was a catastrophe for them. After all, it destroyed their state in Afghanistan. I don't think they're going to do that again.
Anatol Levin is reporting from the Gulf about his decades of experience in and out of Afghanistan, observing what we're now on the eve of watching again, a transformation of Afghanistan into a vulnerable state with the Taliban encroaching on Kabul. This can be a catastrophe. It can be surprises, as Anatol lists the Pakistani state and China as players in the region, along with India. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.